The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Hey, welcome back to The Grillin' Guys. This is Barbecue Bob, and I'm in here with Michael Gray this morning, who's running the board. We've got Emily producing, and it's just a beautiful day to grill. We're going to talk right now with Rob Russell, who is America's favorite cowboy now. He's not just our favorite cowboy, but he's calling in from somewhere out west. Where you at, Rob?
Hey, you know, actually, I'm home today. I'm in Topeka, Kansas, so it's a great day to be home.
Now, Rob, this storm that went through and tore us all up here in the Midwest, did that get you guys, too?
Oh, you know, we got like 9 inches, and I mean, there'd be places in my yard that I could see the grass, and then other places were 4 foot high. So it pummeled us pretty hard, lots of blowing and drifting, probably 40 or 50 miles an hour, and winds, and I just really wanted to go out and start my good one and just see how it did again, but I didn't. But yeah, we're in good shape now, getting ready for another storm here, a couple more days.
Well, we're going to talk about meat temps with you because when it comes to technique and history on meat, you know, you're kind of my go-to guy, you and Chris Marks. So we've got a lot of people out there that really don't get the whole temperature thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Bob, you know, you got to understand meat temperatures and what temperature and how it affects the meat, because most people that don't understand it, and I cooked for a few years and didn't understand it and got really frustrated, and I'd cook and cuts of meat like pork butts and brisket and didn't really understand the temperatures I had to get them to, you got to get them to certain temperatures. And, you know, if you'll go in onto the USDA, they'll recommend safe minimum internal temperatures. But that doesn't mean, that that's where you want to bring it. Like, for instance, a pork butt, you know, pulled pork. I mean, pulled pork's big in Kansas and Missouri. I mean, we don't do, in St. Louis, it's like pork steaks, okay? But around our parts, pork butt, pulled pork. And, you know, pork is safe to eat at 160, but that's not the temperature you want to reach if you're doing pulled pork. You got to get the pulled pork to 200. And one little secret to do that is when you're cooking that pork butt, when it gets to 160 degrees or 165, wrap it in some foil and put it back on. That'll speed the temperature up, and it'll break all that muscle connective tissue down. And another thing, brisket's the same thing. You know, take a big old pack of brisket, and, you know, you can eat beef at 145 degrees, but you're going to have to cook that brisket to 203. And if you run it to 210, you've dried the flat out. The deckle you can't hurt. But, I mean, that's how critical it is that you got to understand what your finished temperatures are on your meats. Just like a pork loin, you know, these pork loins, that's a tenderloin or just the pork loin, those cuts of meats are real, real lean. And, you know, 160 is the safe zone for eating pork. But I guarantee you, if you cook a pork loin to 160, it's the same way with any meats. As soon as you bring that meat out of the smoker or even out of the oven and you set it on a counter, it's going to raise 5 degrees, I guarantee you, every time. So if your finished temperature on a pork loin is 160, then take it out at 155. If you cook it to 165 or 170, you've ruined that pork loin. That's the easiest way to ruin a pork loin. You'll dry it out, guarantee you, every time. And people don't understand that. And, you know, chicken, it's kind of amazing on chicken. And I'm kind of going to ramble on because I want to cover a lot here. Chicken, 165 degrees, if it's got a feather, that's your rule. I mean, I don't care if it's chicken, turkey, anything that has a feather is 165 degrees. That's what the USDA recommends. I kind of have a little problem with that because really, like in any poultry, you need to be checking the thigh, the deepest part of the thigh, without touching a bone. But if you're at 160 degrees, you pull that chicken leg off, you're still going to see traces of blood in there. And, you know, I really like to get my chicken thighs up to 100, 170, or 180. It's just, I don't know. I can't do that blood thing on chicken. You know what I mean?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, and we're talking with Rob Russell, who's our resident cowboy from Kansas. We're talking meat temperatures, and Rob has a lot of experience smoking and grilling.
Now, Rob, I've got a question for you because I've been playing around with a good one now since mid-December, and I've done a couple of pulled porks, and I actually jumped on the Ace of Hearts website and read some tips and things about getting that internal temperature up there. And what I've been doing is smoking it as long as I think I need to, get it up to about 175, 180 degrees on a pork roast, and then wrap it in foil to try to spike that temperature up to 200 and then let it rest for an hour or so before I pull it. Is there a better way to get that done, or is that the right technique?
No, that's the best way. And actually, you know, meat only takes smoke permeation up to 140 degrees. But what you're doing is you're trying to build that bark, that crust, that flavor layer on that pork butt. You know how you start building that smoke bark, that bark and that. But you, as soon as you get that built, you can wrap that, and it's usually going to be 160 degrees. You can wrap that, and a lot of times what I'll do is, you know, like tomorrow, I mean, for Super Bowl, tonight when I get home, I'm going to put a pork butt on the good one. I'm going to run it up to 160 degrees. I'm going to wrap it in foil. I'm going to put it in a big pan, uncovered. I'm going to set it in my oven at 200 all night long. When I get up in the morning, that thing is going to be perfect pull-apart pork. And, you know, I'm going to turn that oven down to 150 degrees, which is safe. Anything under that, you're going to get bacteria. I'm going to turn it down to 150 degrees, and I'm going to stall that pork butt all day long till 5 o'clock when it's Super Bowl. And that's a nice thing that people don't really realize, that you can stall meat. But, I mean, I see it done all the time in restaurants, and you know, they get their meat done in the mornings, they turn it to 150 or 160, and they just, it's rest and stalls all day long. What stalling means is it doesn't know whether it's cooking or whether it's cooling down. And if you get up around 170, you kind of are back on the cooking end of it. So 150 to 170, and you can stall that meat all day.
Yeah, meat temperature is everything. We did a roast, and my wife, Maureen, put a big roast in the oven the other night, and it, you know, it was one of these deals that had all kinds of connective tissue and whatever, just your basic chuck or something, but it was really thick, and she pulled it out on time according to her charts. That thing just wasn't tender enough. Now, a roast is another thing you can work on. You can kind of overcook it, so to speak, or just keep cooking that thing at 200 degrees until you get that to where the connective tissue is just really breaking down in it, because a lot of times it's just not tender enough, but you have to have it covered.
Yeah, and you know, I did the same thing the other day, and I never cook in the oven, but I cooked a roast in the oven, and I probably tried to cook it too fast, and I pulled it out about when I thought it would be done, and it just wasn't done. It was tough, and I put it back in for another hour at 300. I got that hour in, didn't I?
You did. Randy's not even listening.
Oh, dang. And, yeah, but, I mean, once you get your timing down on your meat temperatures and you know where, you know, you cook something good, keep track of what you do. Because, especially on a smoker where you have some variance on temperatures and weather, you know, keep track of what you do, because the next time you do it, you're going to say, well, oh, I can't remember how long, you know, write it down somewhere. But meat temperatures are very critical, and, you know, as soon as you get those down, understand them. The most critical thing about meat temperatures is get a digital thermometer. Don't use the old round dial type. They're not accurate enough. I mean, I suppose you could use them, but if you still have like an 8-track tape player, you know, you're one of those guys. But
I do.
Do you really?
No, Maury made me throw it away.
Oh, okay. Good. But a good, and it doesn't have to be an instant read. It's really hard. I mean, you can buy instant reads where they'll read in like 5 seconds, but that's not necessary. Just a, you know, you can get a good digital thermometer about anywhere for 12, 15 bucks, and they're accurate, and you're not misreading it, and that's the most critical thing.
So one of the things you'd probably want to take into consideration is how much fat does your meat have on it, how much marbling. Is it a lean piece? Is it a loin piece? Prime rib, for example. That's not one you can leave in. I don't care if it's covered or uncovered. You can't leave that in and cook the heck out of it to loosen it up. You're going to dry it out.
Yeah, prime ribs, every piece of meat's different, and you need to understand it. And prime rib is, I mean, 135, you better be pulling it. One thing I learned about prime rib, if you pull that out, if you're doing a party for, you know, 20 or 25 people, and you know some of the women will not eat rare prime rib, and, you know, so if you take some beef broth and just kind of set it on the side and with a fire under it, get it kind of hot, you can take a medium, or you can take a rare piece of prime rib, throw it in that hot beef broth for 1 second and turn it on the other side, and it's all of a sudden medium. So you can just bring that prime rib to medium rare for most people, and then you can finish them off in that beef broth.
This is the Grilling Guys. We're talking to Rob Russell, who's out there in Kansas getting ready for the big game. And what are you doing for the Super Bowl, bro? I got to know what your spread looks like.
You know, we've got some ribs on sale, some big old spares over here at the local store, so I'm going to throw some spares on. I'm going to do some wings in that great Memphis rub. I'm going to do some pulled pork. I don't think I'll hit the brisket. And I'll go to the store, and whatever's on sale, whatever's, you know, on the manager's special, the older stuff, that's what I like to turn into good meat. But the ribs are definitely going to be the ticket. We're going to do some Kansas City sticky ribs with a little bit of honey and Three Little Pigs competition sauce. Oh boy, it's going to be good.
And who are you picking? Who's your pick for Sunday?
You know, I refuse to pick anybody because, I mean, I'm just not going to do it. And we had some of those money things going around. And I didn't even get in them. I think it can go either way. What are you guys thinking up there in Michigan?
I've had the Steelers all week with my morning show. You know, you get put on the spot, and I just those guys are too tough and too good top to bottom. I don't see any way Green Bay can run on them, and I've got to go with the Steelers.
Yeah, well, regardless of who wins, I guarantee you we will be eating wonderful all the way through the game. So Monday morning is going to be a tough one to go back to work.
It is. I think we can also count on it being just a really good game.
Yeah, I do too. We're going to, you know, actually we have our Super Bowl party out in my neighbor's barn, and Bob, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, when we do a Super Bowl party, we're not in a big living room. I mean, we're not all farmers here in Kansas, but everybody's got a barn, and you can just cut loose in the barn and do whatever you want to do. But we'll have Super Bowl party in the barn, and it'll be a wild time, and we'll have a good one, Marshall, going. We'll have a open range going, and it's going to be barbecue city around my place.
Well, you know, Michael here has an open range now, and he's become a monster on that thing. So next time you're out here, we'll have to make sure that you guys get to hook up and spend a little time talking about that thing, because he's just a sponge on the smoker right now. Do you smoke your cereal for breakfast?
I was actually thinking about doing something a little bit later today, because I've got to work, obviously, with the sports station here at WBBL-FM. I've got obligations and duties for the big game, so I won't be able to do that tomorrow, but I'm trying to decide what I want to do today, because it looks like it's going to be a nice day up here in the Mitten.
Well, Michael, try that pork butt. Throw you a couple pork butts on there. Just run them 5 or 6 hours, and I run them about 300. And I'll run them 5 or 6 hours with some good hickory smoke, and then wrap them, throw in your oven tonight, and just turn it down to 200, and you don't even have to be around. Get them up, turn your oven down to 150 or 170, whichever one it'll go. Just let it sit in there all day long. You're going to be ready for the game.
All right. Well, Rob, I appreciate the knowledge, man. I've incorporated a lot of these tips, and I'm telling you, it's a different world when you start working with the right equipment and the knowledge.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be hard. I mean, barbecue's pretty simple, just a lot of people don't take time to understand it. And there's so many resources on the Internet that it gets really confusing to people. So, you know, that's why I say tune in to the Grilling Guys, because they'll keep you going in the right direction.
Hey, that's Rob Russell. Thanks for the endorsement, pal. We're going to take a little break right now. We'll talk to you next week, Rob.
Okay, guys. Be safe.
All right. All right.
We have got to, I know we promised we would get to the Pizza Stone. We got to talk about that with the Super Bowl here. That would be a perfect party item.
Exactly. And even if you don't get the one that you can find online at, I think it's Grilled Pizza Stone.
Well, they got Red Sky
Grilling.
Yeah, Red Sky Grilling is the one I'm looking at right now.
That one's perfect for your Weber kettle.
Yeah.
Because it's got the hinged front.
You don't need any fancy equipment. You're not installing anything. You just drop the thing on your kettle grill and make pizzas.
But I think you could probably even go to like Target or some of these places and just find a nice piece of ceramic stone, just a big round disc. Throw that baby on your Weber kettle or whatever kind of charcoal grill you've got. Maybe even a gas grill. And try a pizza on it. I did a pizza last night. Just kind of whipped one out. I call it leftover pizza. Whatever cheese is in there, whatever pepperonis are left. And I didn't do it on the grill. But, yeah, pizza stone would be a great investment. Another thing you can do with that thing is you can just use it in your oven. You know, you're not limited to your grill.
When you start making pizza, I mean, what's more Super Bowl than pizza?
Yeah. I think I'm with Rob, though. I think I'm going to do the ribs and the wings and some cheesy brats because I'm going with the Packers.
Are you really?
Not a Packer fan. I'm a Lions guy.
Well, we would.
I've got all my relatives in the UP. They're all either Lions or Packers fans. So I'm a bunch of them over in Wisconsin. I got to keep them happy.
We'll talk about that. We've also got to get to the next party. I know Super Bowl Sunday is tomorrow, but we're already planning another bash with the Dam to Dam throwdown up at the Hardy Dam. We will talk about that and more. Stick around.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL FM.